Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of the Lunch Table Talk podcast. And in today's episode, I'm going to be giving you my NFL award selections from the 2020-2021 NFL season. Of course, you got to remember regular season awards. If the postseason was included, I think my awards would be, well, not too much different, but I think they would definitely fluctuate a little bit. But we're going to be taking a look at my selections after the season, and I'm also going to be reiterating what my original selections were from the beginning of the season that I made before preseason began, or actually before week one began, because unfortunately we did have no preseason this year, which could be something that gets implemented into next season and further season. So if you want to talk, if you want me to talk about some of the changes that NFL could implement next season and beyond, please do let me know. So I guess we're going to start out with my original predictions, and then head over to my final predictions, and then just like swap back and forth. So starting off with Coach of the Year, my original predictions were just missing out on my original predictions. I had Ron Rivera and John Harbaugh. And third, I had Pete Carroll. Runner-up, I had Bruce Arians. And first, I had Andy Reid. So heading over to my real Coaches of the Year, my honorable mentions are Andy Reid and Mike Vrabel. Both offensive-minded head coaches, as we could easily see in the point differentials both teams put up this year. So, third in Coach of the Year, I have Brian Flores from the Miami Dolphins. Despite having some sort of quarterback controversy with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa, they really did manage to put up a really good season. Their defense was insane this year, was ranked very highly towards the end of the year. They might have been top three, I believe they were. But no one really came into the season hyping up the Dolphins' defense like they should have been, myself included, actually. So props to Brian Flores for silencing the doubters that they were definitely underdogs going into the season. So my Coach of the Year runner-up is Sean McDermott from the Bills. Going into the season, similar to the Dolphins and the other teams on this list, they were really kind of underrated. I think people thought, after adding Cam Newton, that the Patriots were some sort of god team again, but that just didn't happen. The Patriots defense kind of fell apart, and Sean McDermott and the Bills certainly took advantage of that. McDermott mentored a lot of the guys very well, including some of the older guys that they added this offseason, played them back up again to be starters once again. So good job to McDermott for helping those guys, along with Josh Allen and some of the receivers over there in Buffalo. Now my Coach of the Year winner, I have Kevin Stefanski from the Cleveland Browns. It feels wrong to not give the Cleveland Browns some sort of award this season. I mean, after the past decade of what the Cleveland Browns and the fans and front office or whatever had to go through, I think the Coach of the Year is very well deserved for Stefanski. He was a rookie head coach this season, which makes it that much more impressive. So Cleveland Browns, they added at least, I think they added 5 wins to their record from the 2019 to the 2020 season. So good job to the Browns and everybody over there in Cleveland, especially Stefanski. So congrats to him. So now on, moving from Coach of the Year, heading over to Comeback Player of the Year, which was honestly one of the more debated upon awards this season, for good reason, honestly. But if we're being honest, it is the most meaningless award, if you want to put it that way. I think people would much rather see a player on their team get Defensive Rookie of the Year or MVP or one of the more pristine awards, if you will. So my original predictions, I had Cam Newton in third, Gronk in second, and my first Comeback Player of the Year original prediction was Big Ben Roethlisberger. So honorable mentions from this season, I had Matt Stafford from the Lions and Rob Gronkowski from the Buccaneers. And in third place, I had J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans, who could very well get traded this offseason. So in 16 games, J.J. had 1 interception, 1 touchdown, 1 forced fumble, 5 sacks, 52 tackles, 14 TFLs, which put him 6th in the league. He also had 16 quarterback hits, 13 hurries, 8 quarterback knockdowns, 26 pressures, and a missed tackle percentage at 10.3. And like I said, he could be traded this offseason, and I think this season was a reassurance that he still very well has some value on the trade market. He hasn't really been the same since he won Defensive Player of the Year a few years back. He has been pretty injury-riddled, And that's what the Texans are all about. They got plenty of injured players, plenty of guys that are suspended for a variety of reasons and just injured, opting out, all that stuff. So Houston's not in a great place, but hopefully JJ can be dealt to a pretty good team this offseason. So my runner-up and comeback player of the year, I have Ben Roethlisberger, which means you know who is going to be my winner. I do have some bias, but I'll explain in a minute. Even though you probably heard the same story trillions of times, but Roethlisberger in 15 games, he put up a 12-3 record on 65.6 completion percentage, 3,803 yards, 33 touchdowns would put him 7th in the league, 10 interceptions, 9.5 yards per completion, 255.5 yards per game. He had 4 winning drives, a QBR at 94.1, and a 75.4 on-target completion percentage. He was also 1st in league in sack percentage and completions per game. So, Ben Roethlisberger, I had him winning it in my original predictions. But there was a guy that made a very miraculous comeback. I know Alex Smith. I have him winning the comeback player of the year. I don't need to go over the story again because I know if you're listening to this, you've heard it countless times, either from myself or just over the internet. Every game Alex Smith plays in, every game they have a comparison stat with Smith in it. You've heard the story, so I won't go over it again, but I will go through his stats. So Alex Smith, in eight games he started, he had a 5-1 record, 66.7 completion percentage, 1,582 yards, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 9.4 yards per completion, 197.8 yards per game, 1 game winning drive, a quarterback rating at 78.5, and a 76.3 on-target completion percentage. So yeah, comeback player of the year, Alex Smith. So on to offensive rookie of the year. In my original prediction, I had Joe Burrow in third place. I had runner-up, I had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And winning it, I had Jonathan Taylor. And my honorable mentions were Justin Jefferson and Tua Tagovailoa. So my real honorable mentions after this season were James Robinson, for obvious reason. Robinson really made a name for himself after being undrafted free agent and heading over to Jacksonville in the absence of Leonard Fournette. And my other honorable mention was another running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's see what he can do in the Super Bowl. So in third place in the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, I have Jonathan Taylor from Indianapolis Colts. And in 15 games, he had 233 carries, 1,169 yards, which put him 3rd in the league, 482 of them coming after contact. He had 11 touchdowns, 5 yards per attempt, which put him top 10, 77.9 yards per game, which put him 5th in the league. He had 15 broken tackles, 1 fumble, and on the receiving end, he had 36 receptions for just under 300 yards, 1 touchdown, 367 yards after the catch, which it really shows you something. Philip Rivers kind of throwing him behind the line of scrimmage, but that's whatever. And so really has more yards than the stats show, but yeah. He also had 8.3 yards per reception. So Jonathan Taylor doing really well with the veteran quarterback Philip Rivers. We'll see what he can do next season without Rivers, and then whoever decides to come in and be that Indianapolis Colts new quarterback. Could be Deshaun, not going to be Stafford anymore, even though I would have liked to see Stafford in Indy. I think that would be a very fun team to watch with Hilton, and with that amazing offensive line in Indy. So my offensive rookie of the year runner-up is Justin Jefferson, and in 16 games he made the Pro Bowl, very good. He also had 88 receptions, 1,400 yards receiving, which put him 4th in the league, 457 of those coming after the catch. He also had 15.9 yards per reception, 87.5 yards per game, which put him 6th in the league. He had 7 touchdowns, 2 two-point conversions, 20-plus yard plays, which was 1st in the league. He also had a catch percentage at 70.4, 9 broken tackles, 2 drops, and only 1 fumble. This may shape out to be one of the most even trades in NFL history. Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs. Both of these guys absolutely insane. Right now, as things are looking, I can't really say how Justin Jefferson would have competed with Josh Allen as quarterback, even though that would be a very fun combo to watch. Allen and Kirk Cousins are very different quarterbacks, and the wide receiver twos are honestly pretty equal. Cole Beasley and Thielen both getting up there in age, but Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs both made names for themselves even more than they already had this season. So yeah, good job to Justin Jefferson. So that means winning my Offensive Rookie of the Year award, I have Justin Herbert from the Los Angeles Chargers. And in 15 games, he had a 6-9 record, which I don't think shows his real record at all. They lost by very small margins. He had a 66.6 completion percentage, 4,336 yards, which put him 6th in the league. 31 touchdowns, which was top 10, 10 interceptions, 10.9 yards per completion, 289.1 yards per game, 3 game-winning drives, 98.3 QBR, and an on-target percentage at 76.5. And on the rushing end, he had 234 rushing yards for 5 touchdowns, 8 fumbles, and 3 fumble recoveries. Maybe needs to work on the ball security a little bit. But other than that, amazing season from the rookie Justin Herbert. I don't think a lot of people saw Herbert balling out like he did this season. I think people were heavily focused on, you know, Burrow and Tua, because why wouldn't you be? Burrow coming off of that amazing national title season with Clemson, or sorry, LSU. I'm thinking of Deshaun. The rumors are kind of getting in my head, but Herbert, amazing season nonetheless. Coming out of Oregon, not really a football-driven school, at least not for the past few years, so good job to Herbert. And the only one of the main reasons I picked him over Jefferson, even though both of them had phenomenal seasons, was I think Herbert's a little more valuable to the Chargers than Justin Jefferson is the Vikings. So, nevertheless, good job to both those guys. So, coming off the Offensive Rookie of the Year, we're going to head over to the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Probably one of my worst predictions in the original season, despite getting the winner correct in my eyes. My third place guy was Kalavon Chaisson from the Jacksonville Jaguars. My runner-up was Isaiah Simmons, and my winner was Chase Young, who you'll see me talk about in a second. But my honorable mentions were Jeff Gladney and Kenneth Murray, who both weren't that amazing. And if we're being honest, Isaiah Simmons did not live up to what I had said he would be, and same with Kalavon Chaisson. But I think both of those guys have room to grow, and I think they'll be pretty good in upcoming seasons. So, my real honorable mentions, I have Patrick Queen from the Baltimore Ravens and Cameron Dantzler from the Minnesota Vikings. Both Dantzler was more under the radar than Queen. I think Queen should have gone a little earlier in the draft, but Baltimore swooped him up, needed a linebacker, and I think they filled that void very well with Queen. So third in Defensive Rookie of the Year voting, I have Julian Blackmon from the Indianapolis Colts. And in 15 games, he had 2 interceptions, 6 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 42 tackles, 3 TFLs, and a missed tackle percentage at 14.3. He allowed a 67.9 completion percentage, 405 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 104.8 quarterback rating when targeted in coverage. Sorry if there was an awkward cut there. I got a scam call in the middle of recording. Definitely on the list of things that you love to see. So, my Defensive Rookie of the Year runner-up, I have Jeremy Chinn from the Carolina Panthers. And in 15 games, he had 1 interception, 5 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, 2 touchdowns, which put him first in league. So that was impressive. Both coming in the same game. 1 sack, 117 tackles, 2 tackles for losses, 5 quarterback hits, 6 pressures, and a missed tackle percentage at 11.4. And he allowed a 73.4 completion percentage, 425 yards, 6 touchdowns, and a 115.7 QBR when targeted in coverage. He's very similar to Isaiah Simmons, actually. But he's what I believed Isaiah Simmons would be, plus more. Chinn, a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken, really did come out of nowhere. He was very underrated coming into the season, by myself included. And just about until probably halfway point into the season, when he did get the 2 touchdowns in the same game, people finally started to realize, oh, this Jeremy Chinn kid, kind of a steal of a draft, pretty good player. But yeah, pretty good season. Definitely reminds me of Isaiah Simmons. Definitely what I believed Isaiah Simmons would turn out to be. Chin can play just about anywhere except for probably defensive tackle. So, yeah, good job, Chin, on making a name for yourself this season. My defensive rookie of the year, my first correct pick, I have Chase Young from the Washington football team. And 15 games started, he made the Pro Bowl, which I think probably could have gone to Montez Sweat. I think he had a better tackling, better, I don't know, just better overall stats than Young. But, I mean, Young has the name. He's from Powerhouse College. He's, I don't know, drafted really high. So, yeah, I don't really blame people for voting Young. They know the name. They're going to vote for him. So, he made the Pro Bowl, as I said. He also had four passes defended, four forced fumbles, which put him third in league, three fumble recoveries, which put him sixth in league. He had one touchdown, 7.5 sacks, 44 tackles, 10 TFLs, 12 quarterback hits, 10 hurries, 5 quarterback knockdowns, 23 pressures, and a missed tackle percentage at 6.3. Chase Young, second overall pick from the draft, just adding to that already dominant Washington football team defensive line. So now we're going to go over to Offensive Player of the Year. Probably a worse prediction than my Defensive Rookie of the Year predictions, and you'll see in a minute. A lot of these guys just, I don't know, did not live up to the potential. They kind of busted this season. They were not that good, or they just got injured. So my original predictions on my honorable mentions were Michael Thomas and Zeke Elliott. Both had some injury problems. Both kind of fell out of the lineup, if we're being completely honest. My third place, I had Lamar Jackson, who won Most Valuable Player last year, and he was a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, Burt Bell winner, award winner. I had him in third. Wasn't playing amazing up until the last few weeks of the season, but I think he definitely still deserves the title as a good quarterback. Like, people are trying to compare him to Kyler Murray, and it's just, I don't really see how the stats show that it's really close. Lamar's definitely a better quarterback. But my runner-up was Christian McCaffrey, and my first place winner was Saquon Barkley, both injured the majority of the season. Barkley had 1 week under his belt, or like 1 week, one quarter under his belt. McCaffrey played a little bit more, but honestly not too much at all. So my honorable mentions, my real honorable mentions, were Devontae Adams from the Packers and Dalvin Cook from the Minnesota Vikings. Both really helped carry their team to a playoff berth and an almost playoff berth. So my third and offensive player of the year, I had Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs. And in 15 games, he made the Pro Bowl. Definitely will make the made the All-Pro team, actually, also. He had 105 receptions, which put him fifth in league. 1,416 yards, which put him second in league. 583 of those coming after the catch. He had 13.5 yards per reception. 94.4 yards per game, which put him third in league. And 11 touchdowns, which put him top five. He also had a catch percentage at 72.6, 10 broken tackles, 2 drops, and only 1 fumble. And if you did watch my, what was it, AP NFL teams or whatever, where I gave you my rookie teams, my first team and my second team, you would have already heard these stats. But amongst tight ends alone, Kelce was first in reception yards, yards per game, targets, 20-plus yard plays, yards after the catch, touchdowns, and he's also top four in yards per reception. So yeah, just dominating the tight end position as Kelce does. So my offensive player of the year runner-up, I have Alvin Kamara from the New Orleans Saints, and in 15 games he did make the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro team. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for Week 16. He had 187 carries for 932 yards, 406 of those coming after contact. He also had 16 rushing touchdowns, which was second in the league, 5 yards per attempt, which put him top 10. He also had 62.1 rush yards per game, 16 broken tackles, and 1 fumble. So now onto the receiving end, the second half, or honestly, you might be able to argue the first half of Kamara's game. So on the receiving end, he had 83 receptions for 756 yards, 5 touchdowns, 731 of those coming after the catch, 9.1 yards per reception, 16 broken tackles, a catch percentage at 77.6, 9 drops, 1 fumble. He was also first in total touchdowns and third in all-purpose yards. So Kamara, a two-headed back by himself, receiving end amazing, rushing end amazing. The the Christmas Day game certainly inflated his stats a little bit, but that takes away nothing. It still put him second in the league in rushing touchdowns. Six touchdowns a game is something that you will not see every year, especially in a, honestly, passing league where you can compete without a halfback. You can see that in the Super Bowl this year, actually. Not to say that Ronald Jones or Alaire are bad running backs, but they're not top-of-the-line guys like you would see Kamara or Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry, right? So, good job to Kamara. Christmas game was absolutely so fun to watch. So, in winning Offensive Player of the Year, I have none other than King Derrick Henry from the Tennessee Titans. And in 16 games, he made the Pro Bowl. He had the All-Pro honors. He was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for Week 6, and he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for October. So he had 378 carries, which was first in the league, 2,027 yards, which put him first in the league, obviously, and also put him top 5 all-time. So very good for him. 972 yards after contact, almost had 1,000 yards after contact, pretty much unheard of. 17 touchdowns, first in the league. 1 2-point conversion. He had 5.4 yards per attempt. So it's not like he's just given the ball every second of the game, which honestly kind of does happen. But still, it's not like he's given the ball and making short yardages. He's still 6th in the league in yards per attempt. He had 126.7 yards per game, 27 broken tackles. Wow, that's impressive. And on the receiving end, not really known for his receiving end, but not really known as a receiving back, more of a power back, but he still had 19 receptions, 114 yards, 6 yards per reception, and a catch percentage at 61.3. I think that's kind of why he's not a receiving back. The catch percentage is pretty low for a halfback. He had 3 fumbles, and he was first in all-purpose yards, which is very impressive that he was able to earn the title of all-purpose yard leader in the league, despite not really catching anything, right? I think it's kind of odd how no Tennessee Titans got the honor, or Tennessee Titan offensive lineman got honors of, AP, but I mean, it's whatever. Still a very good season by Derrick Henry there. I wouldn't expect him to repeat that. I mean, he's probably super beat up, honestly, but yeah, very good season by Derrick Henry nevertheless. So on to Defensive Player of the Year. And my original predictions, I had Marlon Humphrey and Darius Leonard. In third place, I had Aaron Donald. Runner-up, I had Myles Garrett. And winning, I had TJ Watt. So honestly, pretty good predictions. Okay, so my honorable mentions were DeForest Buckner and Myles Garrett. And third, I had Xavien Howard. And in 16 games, he made the Pro Bowl, made the All-Pro team. He had 10 interceptions, which had him first in the league, only player with double-digit interceptions in a few seasons, actually. He also had 20 passes defended, which also put him first in the league, 1 forced fumble, 51 tackles, 1 TFL, a missed tackle percentage at 8.9, and he allowed a 48.4 completion percentage, 595 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a 43.8 quarterback rating when targeted. Really helped with that Miami defensive rating in this season. Being first in interceptions and passes defended will certainly do that. So my runner-up, I have Aaron Donald from the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that you can put Aaron Donald in Defensive Player of the Year running, and I don't think anybody's really going to disagree with you. And maybe next, for the next, I don't know, what do you think, 4 or 5 seasons? I mean, he's still relatively young, but yeah, I don't really see him slowing down anytime soon. So AD, in 16 games, he made the Pro Bowl, made the All-Pro team. He had 1 pass defended. He had 4 forced fumbles, which was 3rd in the league. 1 fumble recovery, 13.5 sacks, which was 2nd in the league, just behind our winner. He had 45 tackles, 14 TFLs, 6th in the league, 26 QB hits, 15 hurries, 12 quarterback knockdowns, 42 pressures, and a missed tackle percentage at 6.3. Aaron Donald, man, what a workhorse. And winning Defensive Player of the Year from the Pittsburgh Steelers, I have TJ Watt. And in 15 games, he made the Pro Bowl, All-Pro team. Had a few Player of the Week honors, had a Player of the Month honor in September. And in September and November, actually, so he got two there. Watt also racked up one interception, seven passes defended, two forced fumbles, 15 sacks, which led the league. He also led the league in quarterback hits at 41 and TFLs at 23. He also had 53 tackles, 96 blitzes, and 20 hurries, 19 quarterback knockdowns, 55 pressures, and a missed tackle percentage at 10.2. Certainly helped with that impressive Pittsburgh Steelers record this season. The offense was a little iffy. The defense definitely played up to how they can play. I know that we know they can play. Losing Bud Dupree and having a few other injuries mixed in there definitely hurt them, but TJ Watt stayed sterile and stayed amazing. And I think he should definitely get this Defensive Player of the Year award. So now on to the big award. I had Most Valuable Player. Like I said, you know, regular season award, but it's whatever. So, just missing out on my original predictions, I had Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. And coming in third, I had Lamar Jackson. Pretty easy to vote Lamar after he won Most Valuable Player. My runner-up was Patrick Mahomes. And winning, I had Russell Wilson. Man, Russell Wilson, man. He's really, really tries to get out of the MVP conversation 10 weeks in. Kind of sucks, man. But nevertheless, my real honorable mentions, Tom Brady from the Buccaneers, Derrick Henry from the Titans. Don't need to go over their stats. We already heard Derrick Henry's, and Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl now. So third place in Most Valuable Player voting, I have Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, which makes me very happy to say. I've been on Josh Allen since he got drafted. So Allen, in 16 games, he made the Pro Bowl. He won some Player of the Week honors in Week 2, 9, 13, and 15. He also won a Player of the Month in September. He led the Bills to a 13-3 record, a 69.2 completion percentage, a 4,544 yards, which put him fifth in the league. He had 37 passing touchdowns, fifth in the league, 10 interceptions, 11.5 yards per completion, which is top 10, 284 yards per game, 107.2 quarterback rating, which was top 5, 3 game-winning drives, and an on-target percentage at 75.2. And on the rushing end, he had 421 yards for 8 touchdowns, 9 fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery. Definitely needs to work on some ball security, but that can be fixed. He doesn't run as much as he did in his rookie year. Still racked up just under 10 touchdowns and 500 yards, but still. Ball security is very important. So, Josh Allen, nevertheless, great season for him. Really broke out this season. Would not call him better than Patrick Mahomes, and that's who I have as my runner-up, Patrick Mahomes, from the Chiefs. And in 15 games, he made the Pro Bowl and the AP second team. He was Player of the Week for Week 3 and 8, Player of the Month for November, led his Chiefs to a 14-1 record, only losing to the Las Vegas Raiders in an upset. Had a 66.3 completion percentage, a 4,740 passing yards, which was second in the league, 38 touchdowns, which was fourth in the league, 6 interceptions, 12.2 yards per completion, 316 yards per game, which was first in the league, a QBR at 108.2, which was third in the league, game-winning drives at 3, and an on-target percentage at 77. And on the rushing end, he had 302 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 fumbles, and 2 fumble recoveries. So, Patrick Mahomes, we know he has some help, but nevertheless, it takes still skill to throw for just under 40 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and only having 6 interceptions. And that means winning Most Valuable Player. This should pretty much come to us, no surprise, Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. We know, I mean, coming into the season, Rodgers was kind of like, he was headed toward the downtrend, if we're being honest. They drafted Jordan Love. They were like, hey, got your replacement for the next few seasons. You better step it up. And, I mean, here he is now, 37 years old, winning Most Valuable Player, Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. And in 16 games, he made it to the Pro Bowl. He got the All-Pro award on the NFL first team. He was Player of the Week for Week 13. He had a 13-3 record, a completion percentage at 70.7, which put him first in the league. Also was first in the league in touchdowns at 48. Quarterback rating at 121.5. Touchdown percentage and also interception percentage. He had 4,299 passing yards, which was 7th in the league, and only 5 interceptions. He had 11.6 yards per completion, 268.7 yards per game, 2 game-winning drives, on-target percentage at 78, which I probably led the league, if I'm being honest. And on the rushing end, nothing stellar, but still a very slim part of his game. He had 149 rushing yards for 3 touchdowns, 4 fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery. So that does conclude my awards. I wasn't really going to dive deep into any, Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. But nevertheless, congrats to all of these guys. Nevertheless, whoever wins, congrats to them. I'm sure most of them, the guys that do end up winning, are very deserving. There were some questionable picks last year. Kyler Murray over AJ and Josh Jacobs, but that's neither here nor there. Congrats to everyone on winning the awards. I will reiterate them real fast. I have Kevin Stefanski winning Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Alex Smith, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Justin Herbert, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young, Offensive Player of the Year, Derrick Henry, Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt, and Most Valuable Player, Aaron Rodgers. So, before I end this, be sure to like, subscribe, and all that fun stuff. But you will be getting this before the Super Bowl. I'm kind of recording this a little late because I originally thought that the NFL awards were going to be after the Super Bowl. But I guess that's not happening anymore. Or maybe I just messed up my scheduling, whatever. But I think you're getting 2 episodes this week. So if you're an avid listener, I'm sure you're happy about that. But nevertheless, that does conclude today's episode. Be sure to look out for episode 36, which is my Super Bowl preview. I got some interviews set up for that, so it's already recorded and ready to be sent out, but I don't want to release 2 on the same day. I feel like I won't get as much viewership that way. But nevertheless, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, be sure to follow, all that fun stuff. And follow me on Instagram at lunchtabletalk_, that's on Instagram. Don't have a Twitter set up. I just don't like how Twitter runs, and I think I'll be overran with bots on Twitter, if I'm being completely honest. But nevertheless, go follow that. Follow me on here, wherever you're listening, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, the podcast app, whatever you're listening on, do follow. So yeah, share. Don't think I need to say anything else on how to share. I've reiterated it plenty of times. You guys should know by now. So this has been episode 35. This has been the Lunch Table Talk podcast. Thank you for listening if you made it this far.